Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Okay, it's good we have a small group tonight, because this is what the Course is asking us to do, and it is indeed a leap of faith. See, the world supplies all sorts of evidence with your eyes and your ears, where if you study well enough, if you get enough health, wealth, wisdom, and good friends, says the world, you will be happy. Just work it and work it harder. If things aren't working, you're not working hard enough, says the world. And it has measures for that and everything else. That's the world. That's the ego. And if you are working on the ego's level, it's absolutely right, isn't it?
What is the answer to that one that we can't get in trouble with?
I'm not hiding from it.
I'm not saying you are.
More money.
But it is, for sure.
You know, it said that money does not buy happiness. But money absolutely pays off a lot of misery, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Come on, fact. Very simple. Mm-hmm. Having good friends is better than having bad friends. True? I think it's true. Being healthy enough to get a good night's sleep and not have chronic pain is happier than having chronic pain, being unhealthy, or having chronic depression. Healthy is better. True?
Yeah.
We're not hiding from this. We don't hide from any of this. Not necessary. But remember, the Course in Miracles makes a clear distinction between two levels. A level of material, which is physical, which is time, which is space. It's an application of mind, you see, where you find yourself in a body, in time, and in space. It's an application of mind. Welcome, Sundari. Spirituality and the freedom of being spirit. Being, key word now, one of the more spiritual words, being, it's a bridge word too, is also an application of mind. To be ego or to be spirit is an application of mind. More money, more health, more education, generally, more stuff in the world means that you can pay off misery. And good health, oh my God, the older we get, the more we learn that health pays a benefit across the whole experience.
Yeah.
You sleep better. You think better. You relate better. Yeah, it's true. No doubt. Now, that's your physical being. How to be healthy, wealthy, and wise in the world. There's lots of books written on it. A lot of self-help books, more than this little library behind me could possibly hold, on what to learn, what to say, what to do, who to meet, how to make your business more successful, more profitable, how to manage taxes with whatever money you do make, how to manage taxes. Shouldn't you learn more about this? That's the world. And it's absolutely true on that level. We're meeting because of our addiction to that level, right? We're meeting because we have all recognized that we're addicted to the physical level a bit too much. A bit too much. We know something about the physical level that nobody had to teach us. I said we know something about the physical level and nobody had to teach us because we're living it. And we discovered there is a call within each of us from what we are calling love, we're calling a spiritual center, we're calling a large S self. There's a call in each of us, a light, if you will, inside you, a warmth inside you that you have turned to from time to time. And the more you, this is what the workbook does, it gets you to turn towards your holiness, toward your light, instead of toward grievances, instead of toward defense and attack. The workbook asks you to practice right in the middle of your troubles, to practice going to wholeness, oneness, going toward happiness, peace, even though the world would have you fight. It has you do that. Going to your a place, a room, if you will, where you can experience your holiness. Now, as it is true with the ego and materialism, with which we are all familiar, there are things to pursue that will make you happier in the world. Money, better food, better sleep, better friends, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Learn the right, yes, it works. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. But we've all found that as much as we've pursued in our lives, each of us here have found that there's something else, there's something beyond what wealth and health and knowledge can afford. You do this work with A Course in Miracles or other spiritual work as well, or just a really darn good meditation. One moment of silence has shown you what I'm trying to say. I'm using a lot of words, but you know what I mean. If you've had one moment of true silence where you didn't feel your body, or at least it was so still that you said, I think I'm out of time. Ah! Freedom. It's just a sense of spaciousness that occurs when you actually go still. You step out of time. So out of pattern time interval is more accurately said, because you are so addicted, all you can do is look at time or the absence of time. When you look at emptiness, you look at lack of fullness for most people. Right? So don't get tripped up on the words. You know it when it happens. Having one holy instant, having one moment of an awakening and understanding that it was you who allowed that to happen, not that it happened to you. Did you follow that? There's lots of times when you give the credit to a guru or some book or some drug or some experience, near-death experience, etc., etc. You all know people who've had all of these extreme things occur in their lives to which they credit, and maybe all of you have had, I think maybe we've all had those too, where you've had something that you felt invited you, guided you, gave you an awareness. But guess what? All of your friends with their near-death experience and all of you who have had near-death experiences, and we've talked over the years, it's just like a drug, isn't it? That was then, and I kind of remember it being really great. But then yesterday I lost it. I got so mad or got so sad or got so attacky or got so guilty, what have you, right? And yet you know, and yet you know that you could choose peace at any time. That's why you're here. That's why Course in Miracles works for you. That's why Course in Miracles is so small too. Because right now it's just for people who have actually somehow got a glimpse of this self-responsibility. You know you could do it at any time. Course is teaching you that, and that's why people start to read into Course in Miracles and it hooks them, The Course doesn't say it's going to come save you. Some people will read it quite quickly looking for that, and then just throw it out. And they might come back 5 years later. But they put it down, look for the other book that says, here's what to say, when, and how to do it to instantly save you. Course says, you are so stoned on ego that your life is miserable, but you could choose happiness at any time. Here is 365 easy-to-follow steps. Going to take you a year. Oh, I want the quick fix. All right, so tonight we're going to look further into an experience of awakening that everybody goes through. And it's one of those things where you've already gone through it, even before your Course in Miracles, and people who are not on a spiritual path, they're given glimpses along the way here and there of the truth. And they didn't know what to call it, and that's why I say you come up with all sorts of reasons for it. But Course in Miracles actually lays it out and helps you replicate it. Helps you catch you freeing you over your made-up problems. Vision. A moment of vision. A moment of vision that you allow yourself to receive from you. It is given you, for you, and actually from you. It's given you who don't think you have, from you who has, for you who is ready. And in an apparent state of need. Vision. See, that's why I say it is definitely a bridge experience. Remember what we read last week. I think we read it last week. You don't need vision in heaven. And I'm fond of reminding you that you also don't need miracles. There are no miracles in heaven. There are no miracles in heaven. Not as Course in Miracles defines miracles. There's no miracles in heaven. Miracle is a thought that deals with error, isn't it? A miracle is a correction for error, isn't it? So when you go from wrong-mindedness to right-mindedness, you're letting go of errors. Right-mindedness deals with letting go of errors. So it also is not going to be in heaven. When you're awake, you're in one mind. There is a type of awakening that happens in your body here that is extremely freeing. An awareness, you can call it. It's not the complete liberation that I think, you know, you imagine. But nonetheless, these are wonderful, wonderful steps. Vision is a word used throughout A Course in Miracles. And it is one of these tools that is offered for you. And just like the truth, it's always there waiting. It truly, you're not a victim to anything, including the good stuff. Nothing will be forced on you. None of the bad stuff is, and none of the good stuff is. It's not forced on you. You're not a victim at all. That's good news and bad news, huh? Somebody just please save, Jesus, come down out of the clouds, walk across the water, and save me. If you think you need saving, you cannot be saved. I should write a book on that sentence. But it's not our focus tonight. Tonight we are receiving the saving grace of vision. So before we dive in to a fantastic section which will give us, in Jesus' words, steps we can take to understand this, let's take a few moments to go quiet and to receive our Holy Spirit come talk to us about vision. Let's do that for a few minutes. Vision. Where does it come from? The vision of understanding what's really going on. Where does it come from? Maybe a little context might help get us into the mood to hear and take steps. Let me ask you a simple question before you think about anything else. Please take a moment and ask yourself this. Is there a truth beyond this world that holds this world? I said, is there a truth beyond this world that holds this world? Is there something going on even now that is given to you? And don't forget to keep beating your heart at the appropriate rate while we're doing this. Is there more to understand about the simplest things, even right in the room where you are, than you know or will ever know in your entire lifetime? Would you receive more awareness? Or are you content to live out your life with what you can find in books or spoken from another's mouth? Would you be open to receive your own personal awareness of this bigger picture? Now let me ask you again. Kind of a yes or a no, really. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell anybody else. Is there a truth beyond this world that holds this world? And finally, I have one more question for you. I think it's just a yes or a no. It seems so simple. If you think there is a truth that is beyond this world, that holds this world, are you connected to that truth even now? So, Jacqueline. So, Andrew. I mean, maybe it's just, I think it's a very simple yes or no, but I'm inviting you to give me a couple of comments about your experience of that question. But my question to you, Andrew, is, one, is there a truth beyond this world that holds this world? to you?
Wait, to me or to the Holy Spirit?
I'm asking you, the one who can speak into the microphone. Is there a truth beyond this world to you that holds this world?
I said yes, but I heard the Holy Spirit say no.
Aha.
Yeah. And then, have any of you seen the movie Silence by Martin Scorsese?
Nope.
Okay. Well, briefly, it's about two Judaic priests who go to Japan, and they're trying to spread their faith and basically also save one of their teachers. And they find out that this is a spoiler, actually. So they basically find out that their teacher has converted to, I think it's Buddhism or Shinto, another religion, and they're really disappointed and everything like that. But I saw during my meditation, though, after I heard no from my Holy Spirit or higher self, a specific scene at the end where that teacher who converted to the other religion is being cremated and is holding a cross as he's being cremated. Mm-hmm. So, and that it's a really, it's one of those like controversial endings where you're not really sure what it means, but
sounds like you could sort that one out and have the Holy Spirit walk you through that imagery, because you held on to it. And so it's a gift to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luann, yeah. Tell us something. Do you believe there is a truth beyond this world that holds this world?
Well, my answer to every question but one was yes. Hmm. And the one that wasn't yes was, I'm not sure what it is, whether it's yes or no. And that one is, am I open to it?
Aha! That's my second question.
Way back at the beginning, I got hooked.
Good.
So as we went through, what came to me, and it's kind of like a story. In other words, it's not, you asked a lot, you had a different thing, so I ended up putting them all together in a story. And my story is that I believe that God is not only love, but God is also infinite wisdom, and infinite wisdom is wisdom because it knows of everything. Okay. So therefore, it knows of this world. And I also believe that as we are of God's extension, that therefore we have this wisdom somewhere inside of us to know what this world is about and its truth. And I guess that's as much as I need to say.
Are you, whatever you can think you are now, connected to that truth?
I am connected to that truth, but it's kind of like the truth is in me behind. It's the truth is in me, and it's behind a door, and once in a while the door opens and I see it, and then I bang it shut because it's too much or too something. It gets me, it feels like it's the easiest thing in the world, and then I get afraid of it somehow. Because I'm attached to the body, I guess.
You are addicted, deeply addicted, like the rest of us.
Andrew, can I go next or soon?
Yeah, you can go next. Yeah, hang on. There's a lesson in the workbook that has you approach a door.
Okay.
It has you look at the whole world, go beneath the world, and go up to a door. And when you're ready, you open the door. As you described.
What lesson is that?
I forget.
Well,
there's so many. How can you remember them all?
You've never forgotten.
Come on.
You can tell us page and paragraph. What do you mean?
Yeah, you know, I memorize a lot of stuff, but not that one. Okay, Judy, tell us. Tell us.
Okay. The answer was yes to your, just a sec, I got to find where I wrote, jotted this. Is there a truth beyond this world that holds this world? yes, in that the truth I seek exists in this world, therefore truth is present. My vision, I'm given the vision of the potential that it's not just present, it's present right in every cell of my body. And that potential, I am given glimpses of in its greatest heights every so often, but it certainly exists. Now, there was another, I said no to the next thing that I had jotted. Anyway, to understand the things. Oh, you, what was your question? How did you say it? The question of understanding. What was another question you asked us?
Well, the ones I want to know is the first one, is there a truth beyond this world to you that holds this world? And then the second question is, are you connected to that truth?
Okay. Was there a third question?
Probably a couple, but these are the two I want to focus on.
Okay. So I guess that what I was thinking along those lines, I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah, where do you find yourself? So there's a truth out there that you could say that you've identified is in every cell in your body.
Right.
And I love that you use the word potential. Do you have any science in your background?
Somewhat, yeah. I was pre-med for a while.
So you might have learned about this idea of what an electrical potential is. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can see it or that it's moving, but it's there and it has a capacity to be.
Nicely said.
One more. I love that you use that word. Yeah. Good, good, good. Jason.
Yes. And yes, I'm told that I'm connected to this truth, and I believe it.
Uh-huh. Tell us the first one so you can hear your mouth speak the words, just so you can see how it feels.
Well, I said yes to the fact that I have to reinterpret it.
Fine. That's what I'm after.
This world that I perceive that I'm in does not exist. That I know to be true. I'm not at the point where I have anything tangible to prove that. So I guess it would be a belief, or at least a willingness to believe. So that would be the bridge to where I'm going. I don't know what the experience is to be 100% there and to be in the body at the same time. That's conflicted right now.
That's why I'm asking you to actually say this sentence, Jason, because I know you and how much time you have spent with this material, with me personally, and I know you've had some awakenings along the way that have brought tears to everybody in the room, and I know that you have used your mind to free yourself from time to time. You stepped out of the problem you were perceiving and looked back on it.
But did I do that?
I'm just saying you had that experience.
Oh, okay, yeah, I had the experience.
You're the reason you needed to step out.
That's for sure. Take a double on that.
No problem there. But now I'm asking you
right
to open your mind to your Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I want you to just answer that question in whatever words you think are appropriate. To touch. Which way, maybe you call this faith, right? You already have the belief. Use the belief word. But what I'm inviting you to do now is to claim it. Is there a truth beyond this world which holds this world to you?
And the truth is that this world does not exist.
I didn't ask you what the truth was.
Oh, okay. So what are you asking?
I'm just asking you it beyond words now, because these words are just all pointers. Mm-hmm. So we have to meditate on things like this. We can't just put a checkbox next to it. It's why it's so important that we have to sit with these things, because this is a journey beyond words that we're taking. And what we're going to look at tonight is going to illustrate that further. So I've just cobbled together a sentence that I thought might invite you to feel. Not think, but to feel.
You know, that feeling is I'm afraid to lose myself.
I know.
I don't want to lose this precious image I made.
So precious. So precious.
The precious iPhone, you know, right?
Just like the precious drugs that we love to take.
Yeah.
And then you got to stop taking them because they've ruined your life for a while.
Yeah. Stop taking the dream seriously.
I'm asking you, Jason.
Yeah.
To say out loud.
Right.
Whether or not, in your experience,
yeah,
there is a truth that surrounds everything.
Yeah.
Or is it all a disaster and there's no hope? That's the coin you hold.
I believe in the first, not the latter.
Okay. I'd like you to say it for all of us.
That, okay, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say. Really on the point. That this world doesn't exist.
Yeah, I know.
I think I'm missing something here. I can't hear it. Maybe it's too close.
Everybody turn to page 660 in the text. Jason, you don't mind if I work you over the coals like this, right? Is that okay?
Well, no, I charge by the hour.
I owe you so much. But this is true for everybody. The consternation he's going through is simply honest. Page 660 in the text.
Yeah. Final vision.
Yeah, that's correct. Chapter 31.
That explains it pretty well.
What?
That explains it pretty well. I don't know the thing I am.
So let's have Andrew Huang. Would you read for us that whole paragraph, 17. And actually, you're reading it to Jason, and all of us are listening in.
All right. The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by, and you will see you know not what you are. It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound.
Okay, now, you recognize that what he just read to us, the I word in there is not to be missed. Images. Images. There will come a time when images have all gone by. Don't miss that. That's something you may not have even seen the first three or four times you read it, because it just seems to flow. But Like I said, there's levels of teaching in every paragraph, and one day that level will just hit you. It'll ring like a bell, and I'm trying to ring that right now and for tonight and for Jason. Thank you, Andrew. Please continue.
So images are is part of what we've created that we think is real.
Yep. It's what you see with your eyeballs and what you think in your mind that has form.
So illusions.
What? Yes.
Okay.
They are actually illusions. Yes. There's a lesson 30 in the workbook. Early, right? 30 out of 300. All thoughts are images I have made. Whoa! If you don't stop and meditate on just that one sentence, you're not even reading this book. All thoughts are images I have made. Now you know what Course in Miracles is about. Just don't miss that here as he reads it for tonight. Okay, Andrew, please continue.
Where concepts of the self have been laid by it, is truth revealed exactly as it is. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt? There is no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself.
Gulp.
Yet in this learning is salvation born.
Yo, ring the bell. Read that sentence again. When is salvation finally born? How does this happen? Tell us again.
Yet in this learning is salvation born. And what you are will tell you of itself.
When salvation is born, do you see the circle that's illustrated here in that just those few last words that he read? He said, and what you are, key topic for identity, will tell you. What you are will tell you of its capital itself. You see that circle that's laid right there? It works on multiple levels, that one sentence. First time you read this book, if you're rushing through just to have read A Course in Miracles, you'd probably be uncomfortable with those italics. Because it says, I don't know the thing I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I am or how to look upon the world or on myself. Those are very unsettling words to somebody who is not founded, at least a little bit, in the embrace of love, the embrace of the beyond, the embrace of truth. Have you had even one holy instant where stillness came to you? When you've got that far, you can read that and say, yes, it's good that I let go of my concept of myself. But until you get there, these are fighting words for the ego. The ego says you need to learn yourself, know what to look out for. You need to know what to go gain so you can be strong. You need to go get in the world and manage things. That's why you're here, after all. You're alive so that you can be bigger and better and healthier, wealthier, and wiser, therefore happier. Then you can afford to love, says the ego. So you better know what you are. You better know what you're doing, says the ego. You better know where you are, for crying out loud. You not even respect or how to look upon the world or on yourself. Are you an employee? Are you a husband? Are you a wife? Are you a man, a woman, young, old, rich, poor, smart, dumb? Oh my God. So there is an invitation that comes at lessons, you know, page 660, you read the whole text by now. And he's ringing your bell, but when the time you get here and you've done A Course in Miracles, you've read it with some open-mindedness, for me, anyway, this is such a relief to have permission to say this out loud, Jason.
I have a question.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm guilty of that I'm trying to forgive. I was going through that the last couple of days going, well, you know, I'm not afraid of God. So,
Jason, hold on, buddy.
Oh, what?
If you find out what you're guilty of,
yeah,
you're going to be in trouble.
Oh, because I made it real.
Yes!
Oh, okay.
I hope you never
peg
that.
Oh, I'm not guilty. Well, that's...
You're not guilty!
Well, let's have a party.
You're dreaming guilty.
Let's party.
The ego wants you to find it.
I'm not guilty. Well, I've been looking for that guilt for so long.
He wants you to blame you and then have you struggle to forgive yourself for the next 3 years. That's what the ego wants. May you never get it.
Well, I'm a sucker.
Sucker. May you never get sucked into that ego trap.
Yeah, not again. Well,
give it up. That's why you haven't been able to find it, see?
I feel lighter now.
What?
I feel lighter.
Well, you should. Because this is what you've been doing all this time that I've known you. Is you've been seeing the cracks of light, following it sometimes, putting down the darkness other times. You come into our Course in Miracles room and teach us all. And this, you know... You must now remember that you have two voices, and one of them is the voice of freedom, and the other is the voice of bondage.
Right.
Do not follow the voice for bondage, looking for freedom. Do not follow to find out what you're guilty of, so that you can forgive it. It turns out, this is not actually doing the Course in Miracles. Yes, we have to look for a final time, but guess what? You don't have to actually look and find something that's not present. When we say the triad of Course in Miracles is miracle, forgiveness, holy instant, that first you must look, have a shift in perception. It is not that you have to look at any particular deed or person or event that was made up anyway. You must look presently at what you think and feel. That's what we're always forgiving. And if it helps that you put a face on it, fine. The Holy Spirit will use that. Don't get pulled into the ego trap of maybe it's like psychotherapy. We have to trace through and find out the first time that you said that thing, and then we have to go ask forgiveness from somebody you said it to. All that works. It's just slow and takes a long time. Maybe more than one lifetime. Maybe many, many. Don't fall into that trap. Andrew.
Doesn't forgiveness reside with guilt, though?
Yes.
Aren't they, like, you know, the same, basically?
Isn't this great, you guys? You want to take that, Julie? He's a newbie, right? He's only read the course for a couple of weeks. And he just... He just said that doesn't forgiveness reside with guilt?
Right.
And we're in a Course in Miracles meeting, and he's just come saying, hey, what's this Course in Miracles all about? You want to take that, Julie?
Maybe not. I have something to say on guilt, but that Andrew's question's a tricky one.
All right. So
you'd be better.
So, Andrew, you've teed this up so perfectly, for Course in Miracles, because... forgiveness that you find in the dictionary, and that's why I love that you said it, because it's perfect to come into Course in Miracles realizing that when you say, I forgive you for hurting me to somebody, you're cementing the guilt. This is the world's forgiveness. It's not how Course in Miracles wants you to learn forgiveness. The world's forgiveness says... look, you hurt me, but I'm not going to punish you. I've decided to forgive you for hurting me. and doing that thing that you should not have done, you're sorry, right? That's why I'm going to forgive you, because you're so sorry. And then a little tear comes out of your eye as I know I got you. You say, yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. So I punched you, and I made you admit that you're horrible. So I punched you twice. Then I kind of asked for an apology. So I punched you again, you know, made you weaker and weaker. But I'm not, you know, even though you were so bad, it did a terrible thing, I'm not going to punish you because I'm so good. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I just punched you several times. That's forgiveness in the world. I'm going to forgive you for hurting me. That's forgiveness in the world. So I'm assigning guilt. I'm making sure you accept it. And then I don't punish you for it. That's forgiveness in the world. What is forgiveness in A Course in Miracles? Tim, tell us what forgiveness is in A Course in Miracles.
Forgiveness is an opportunity to recognize that you or someone that seems to be another has erred, has made a choice based in ignorance that they thought would bring them happiness.
Julie, what's forgiveness in A Course in Miracles?
Especially
in comparison with the world's forgiveness.
It is recognizing that what you think occurred is it's like your own thoughts about what occurred, that your thoughts about what occurred are what need to be forgiven, because it is you're reliving that experience in this moment, and it is not actually like what occurred, or it's not real.
It's an inside job. In the world, it's an outside job. I'm going to go forgive you for doing that horrible thing to me. That's an outside job. Forgiveness, the Course in Miracles, is an inside job. I'm actually forgiving my thoughts about this thing, because that's what's making me suffer. It's an inside job. I don't know about you. I don't know what's going on with you. All I know is that I've made a victim of myself with something that appeared to happen in this level, and I'm suffering for how long now, Jason? How long now, Deborah?
How long
do these things repeat themselves?
Lifetimes.
Sundari, anything you're hanging on to that's gone on for years and years? Like, wait a minute, I think I could have just let that go. Luann, right? So, Ross, tell us what forgiveness is in A Course in Miracles. And by the way, I do this every once in a while, not to embarrass anybody, but just to see how the ego, all of us have different levels of understanding, and this forgiveness is the perfect word to describe the tool of A Course in Miracles. But as you can see, it's not right there at the top of your lips, especially so that you can speak it out loud, which is great to come to a meeting so that you can actually say these sentences out loud and see how they sound. A lot of us know, but you just say it. So, Ross, what's forgiveness in A Course in Miracles?
Well, what I've come to is Jesus is allowing us to play games with all of this because it's all illusion. So I just changed the name to exonerate. So exonerate means the DNA evidence came back, and my brother never did. It's for sure. There's a 1 billion chance that, you know, 100 billion to 1 chance that he did it. And the DNA evidence says, he didn't do it. He was never there. So I just play games with it. And now I've come to the Holy Spirit is now the director. And he also works with the film editor. And so anytime I feel out of peace, I just say, cut! Put it on the floor, the cutting room floor. And somebody came up with, oops, help. That is so good. But anyway, forgiveness is exonerate. Never happened, and I'm not even here. And you're not even here. So why even worry about it?
I don't think anybody's been around long enough to remember this story. Because probably 10 years ago. I was doing the same exercise since Thursday night once, and a guy said he was a film editor. He had done this for several years in Hollywood in the old days. In film editing back then with acetate film, you know, you literally had a and he said his job was to go to a portion of the film and cut before the part to be removed, the bad scene. I think he was fixing films. Yeah. They would stuck in the projector. This is it. It was stuck in the projector and then several frames would burn. So you'd have to take the thing, lay it on the table, and you'd find out the last good frame, save that, go through all the burned out stuff, and then make another cut. And then you would take this piece of acetate, which is highly flammable and dangerous to have around otherwise, and you'd put it in some acid, and the acid would dissolve it into a gel, and you close the lid, and you would go on and find it, right? So that's what he did.
Yep, there you go.
Okay, and so he had a little song that he would sing in his head because he knew that that was like forgiveness. He would take where his mind went wrong. He would find that place when he made his judgment. Yep. And he would use the miracle to perceive and let go now with forgiveness all of the mistakes that he made following that one error. And then he would make another cut in his life. And saying, you know what, this contains all of the mistakes that I made to make myself suffer. So he used to say himself, he'd say, cut.
You got it. That's the idea.
Cut, cut, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Ah, okay, that's the Alka-Seltzer commercial.
Yeah, that was the era when he was doing this.
I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah, me too. Cut, cut, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Go into your mind, into your life. Go back to where you started thinking this errant thought. Follow it through to all the mess that you've made with it. And just make another cut. And then just drop it into that acid and watch it disappear.
Right.
Forever.
Since we're having so much fun with this. All right. So the director... That's the Holy Spirit, right? So yep. He comes in and he says, all right, Ross, this is the movie of the story of Ross's life, and his character is peace. And you've got a peace-o-meter at 100%. If it drops down to 99, I want you to yell cut, and I'm going to get you back into character.
I love it.
Your character is peace, okay? So and here's the line. Here's I'm going to get your motivation going. You're only here to be truly helpful. You are as God created you. All right, now you're back in character. All right, roll them.
I love it.
Why not? It's all a game anyway. It's all an illusion. Why not have fun with it and just go? What works for you? Because Holy Spirit has not been working for me. I don't like that word. It's too Catholic. Catholic.
Yeah.
So screw that word. I'm going with director and film editor. And that's going to help me.
You're working
it's right here in my mind, so why not?
Bottom line. That's it.
All right.
Well done.
Exonerate is forgiveness. And you never did it. The DNA evidence came back, and you never were here anyway, so...
So, Andrew, indeed, there is guilt layered right underneath the peanut butter in the ego sandwich of forgiveness. With the Course in Miracles understanding, we're dreaming this whole thing up, man. You're only suffering because you decided something was bad and shouldn't have happened. Then you suffer. But whatever happened in Luann's life, it was even worse than what happened in your life. You're not suffering over that. It was 10 times worth what happened to her and when she tells her story. But you only suffer because what happened to you. Isn't that interesting? Because you personally lost. Yeah. So forgiveness is an inside job, and you're relieving your thoughts about something, not the thing or the person. Very good. Good question. Keep it up. That's exactly the right vein. You're coming in with the right understanding. And we're going to correct that.
So what you're saying then is forgiveness is letting go of the idea that the other person ever did anything to you, because they didn't.
To you. They did do something in the world.
Yeah, but they didn't do anything to you.
Not to you. It wasn't personal. You made it personal.
Right.
You're the only person who can make it personal. Even though they used your name, they took your money, they cut your body or whatever, it's not going to be something you experience until you make it personal. Yeah. So you let it be your own loss. You know this because you've done it all your life. And you know it because there's times when you didn't do it and you were free. That's what we're learning.
So how does that relate to...
Nice, Andrew.
How does that relate to what I thought was forgiveness, which fits with this? I mean, it works, but the words are a little different. And the words I thought personified forgiveness or explained it was, if you're forgiving somebody and not just yourself for having the wrong thoughts, I thought it meant that, you know, you and them, if you had negative thoughts about what they were doing, you and them both had the idea that we were separate and not one. And forgiveness, I thought, was recognizing that we're all one and therefore they whatever they did was what we did and vice versa or we didn't do.
As long as you take it and recognize that it's your thoughts you're suffering from, not what they did, and you're not correcting anything for them, mm-hmm. Ultimately, there's no them to actually be corrected. Otherwise, you'd be waiting forever for them to come tell you they got it.
Okay, so what I need to get out of that then is when I, from a human point of view, think they did something wrong to me, what I have to realize is that we're all one and none of us are guilty for anything.
You have to recognize that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now, do we have time to go look at lesson 121 real quick, or did that completely derail us into this wonderful discussion of forgiveness, which, by the way, why should we ever discuss anything else anyway? Ah!
121.
Go to lesson 121. You know what? Let's just do that because we should, you can't back away from a chance to read this.
One lesson. Okay.
So, Jacqueline, you want to start for us? Lesson 121. We'll just read the first, six paragraphs or so.
Okay. So just read the first one?
Yes, please.
Forgiveness is the key to happiness. Here is the answer to your search for peace. Here is the key to meaning in a world that seems to make no sense. Here is the way to safety in apparent dangers that appear to threaten you at every turn and bring uncertainty to all your hopes of ever finding quietness and peace. Here are all questions answered. Here, the end of all uncertainty ensured at last.
Oh, that's the way that sounds. Andrew, paragraph 2.
The unforgiving mind is full of fear and offers love no room to be itself, no place where it can spread its wings in peace and soar above the turmoil of the world. The unforgiving mind is sad, without the hope of respite and release from pain. It suffers and abides in misery, peering about in darkness, seeing not, yet certain of the danger lurking there.
Luann, number 3.
The unforgiving mind is torn with doubt, confused about itself and all it sees, afraid and angry, weak and blustering, afraid to go ahead, afraid to stay, afraid to waken or to go to sleep, afraid of every sound, yet more afraid of stillness, terrified of darkness, yet more terrified at the approach of light. What can be unforgiving mind perceive but its damnation? What can it hold except the proof that all its sins are real?
Jason, you reading tonight? Let's go to Deborah. Wait, oh, he's back. Jason, can you read for us paragraph 4?
In the bathroom. On 661?
on 214.
Okay, hold on.
We're going to have you read paragraph 5 on 214 in the workbook when you get there. So we're in the workbook, Deborah. On do paragraph 4 for us.
214. Here we go.
Are you ready?
214, paragraph 14.
Okay, he's there. Yep.
So you, my child, are afraid of your brother.
Hold on. You're going to have to go to the workbook. So we're going to have Deborah read for us if she's ready. And then Jason, go to the workbook.
My bad.
Yes, Deborah, paragraph 4.
The unforgiving mind sees no mistakes, but only sins. It looks upon the world with sightless eyes and shrieks as it beholds its own projections rising to attack its miserable parody of life. It wants to live, yet wishes it were dead. It wants forgiveness, yet it sees no hope. It wants escape, yet can conceive of none because it sees the sinful everywhere.
What a chaotic way to live. Wow. You ready for more bad news? Sorry. Read for us paragraph 5. I promise you it gets better.
Am I unmuted?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Jason. I cut Jason out. Jason, paragraph 5. Hang on, Sundari.
I need the page again.
214 in the workbook.
Okay.
Okay, Sundari, you're back on.
214. Paragraph 4.
Yeah.
The unforgiving mind.
All right, he's there.
Sees no mistakes, but only sins.
Oh, sorry, I said 4. I need you to read 5 now.
Okay. The unforgiving mind is in despair without the prospect of a future which can offer anything but more despair. Yet it regards its judgment of the world as irreversible and does not see it has condemned itself to this despair. It thinks it cannot change, for what it sees bears witness that its judgment is correct.
Do you see the circle? Do you see the circle it's drawing? For what it sees shows it that it's right, because it's looking.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. That's the circle, the law of mind. Please continue.
It does not ask, because it thinks it knows.
Yep.
It does not question. Certain it is right.
Wow. Closed and stuck with suffering. When would that ever end? When would that ever end?
You know something that's not true.
Amen.
And you know it well.
Amen, sister.
And the thing that holds the world is holding you.
Yeah. All right, Sundari, read for us paragraph 6.
I'm still in that first experience.
Yeah, I know, I owe you some words on that.
Forgiveness is acquired. It is not inherent in the mind, which cannot sin. As sin is an idea you taught yourself, forgiveness must be learned by you as well, but from a teacher other than yourself, who represents the other self in you. Through him, you learn how to forgive the self you think you made and let it disappear. Thus, you return your mind as one to him who is yourself and who can never sin.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sundari. This is a job ahead of us. This is what we're doing. This is why forgiveness is the tool of A Course in Miracles throughout the book. Good, good. All right. Well, let's go back to our, to anybody else who would like to speak on the meditation, which is the question is, Sundari, you're up next. The question is there a truth beyond this world that holds this world?
And I said yes to that. And then you said,
Are you connected to that truth?
Well, that's when I got the experience that hasn't left. And the answer was yes. And what was it? It was love. Now. And all of a sudden, It was holding me everywhere palpably, at 360 degrees. And every day I ask for that. Every day I say, I know everything in this world is really love. Let me feel it palpably in every person, every place, every circumstance. Let me palpably feel your love. But truthfully, tonight was the most palpably palpable, where I felt held. And then on page 661, where we were reading, and what the last sentence of that in the final vision was, and what you are will tell you of itself. And all of a sudden, because I'd been wondering somewhere in me, in the midst of the experience, about the membrane of me. In other words, my feeling it everywhere, out. The bubble. And when we got to that sentence, and what you are will tell you of itself, it made me cry because I realized that I'd made the bubble and that it was the drop in the ocean in the same inside and out.
And how close is it? If it, what you are will tell you of itself, how close is it and has it always been?
That's in a way the most I've ever felt that tonight.
Wonderful.
And so I'm still sort of thick in it.
Oh, my God. I mean, what's more important than that? Well, quick, let's turn to lesson 318 and see it in print again. It's on page 459. Page 459 in the workbook. It's the back of your book. There's a sliver left. 3/8 of an inch. It says, in me, and what Sundari is talking about, that sentence that says, salvation, your salvation is when what you are reveals itself to you as you. I mean, wow, what a circle, what a tight circle. But what a celebration, because you're fully empowered now by you. In me, salvation's means and end are one. In me, well, God's holy Son, are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. What could conflict when all the parts have but one purpose and one aim? How could there be a single part that stands alone, or one of more or less importance than the rest? I am the means by which God's Son is saved, because salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God has placed in me. I was created as the thing I seek. So isn't what Andrew Huang said correct also? The thing that you seek is seeking you. I am the goal the world is searching for. There's your job description, folks. And the answer also, the complete answer to what you seek. His one eternal love. Wow, I am God's Son, comma, God's one eternal love. There is a description of what you are in black and white in very few words. First, you're God's Son with a capital letter. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means, comma, God's one eternal love. There it is. That's what you actually are. Well, I am salvation's means and end as well, of course. Once you get that, it's easy. Beautiful, Sundari. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jacqueline, you ready to tell us?
Yes, let's see. I have it. Is there a truth beyond this world which holds this world? And I kind of did some of what Jason did, and, you know, well, this world isn't real, and I've been reading in the Course in Miracles that it's not recognized. God is love, truth. So it's almost like God doesn't see this world as I understand it. So the Holy Spirit then is. But I do believe that there is a truth beyond this world. And somehow it holds the truth that I am, even though I'm in this world. So I guess that's how I would say it.
Beautiful. Good, good. Because you see her using those words, but she was really, she showed us her feeling about it. There was a certainty in there, but she didn't want to mess it up with words. So I'm really glad that you took time to simplify that. Beautiful. Well done.
You know, about with forgiveness, I know I've said to you that what comes to me is forgiveness is knowing there's nothing to forgive. And then last night in the class, I shared, Lee was asking us, we were doing the meditation, he asked us, you know, to think about things that were bothering us, people, problems. And I realized, well, I'm bothering me. I'm the only thing bothering me. There was no bother out there. And I just had, it's like I laughed. It made me laugh. So now it's kind of like I can kind of laugh when those thoughts, as opposed to being kind of hard on myself. I thought, that's so ridiculous. I'm bothering me. So that was just kind of a fun way to look at it.
That's beautiful. You want to see where Jesus puts that in the sentence?
Yes.
Real quick, everybody turn to page 298 in the text. 298 in the text. There's a few little pieces that they're kind of like humor. I think they're humorous. Jesus kind of says it as it is. You know, he says, well, fact is. 298, paragraph 7, sentence 1. You read that one sentence for us, Jacqueline.
You cannot be your guide to miracles, for it is you who made them necessary.
So he says, look, you can't do it. You can't be your guide to miracles, because you're the problem. It's you who made the miracles necessary. But don't worry, I got your back. But you separate egomaniac, you're making your own life miserable. You're the one who made miracles necessary in the first place. So don't go try to do them. Learn to ask the Holy Spirit, which is the film director for Ross and the editor and such. This is this part of your mind that's willing to make edits and throw out what's useless. That's the Holy Spirit's job in A Course in Miracles, is to reinterpret everything that you think you see. The part of your mind still connected to the truth. Good, 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 good.
Andrew, may I ask a question that's been bothering me since the beginning? Your statement was, meditate upon, is there a higher reality that holds my day-to-day apparent reality in place? Phrase it differently for me. How did you say it?
Well, I said, is there a truth that holds you here, that holds this here? Are you within a truth?
Let me ask you.
That holds the world.
Right. So I'm going to give you a question with a question. Does this truth that holds the world change over time?
That would be something for you to elucidate. How powerful is this truth? And so the only thing I want to interpret is, or have you look at, is whether this world held by something true? Is this world held? Is there a way to go beyond this world and find truth in your mind? Does your mind allow there to be a truth that holds this world? Or is this world separately floating out, never attached and unreachable by anything you could call truth? So that's why I didn't use the word God, because that would not, it doesn't work. God doesn't know about the world if you understand what the Course means by God. So that's why I use the word truth. And is there a truth in your mind, that you know, in your belief system, that holds this world? Was my question. Does that, and I said words are sloppy, okay? So we can't go too far into the what's the world and what's the truth. I'm trying to go for, did that evoke a feeling in you that you want to volunteer to talk about?
The short answer is yeah, it does. It evokes a feeling. It evokes a feeling of hopefulness, of confidence that I'm on the right path. It gives me an empowerment to act wisely in ways that diminish both my own suffering and the suffering of others. And that comes through understanding how things really are, not just how they appear, but how they really are. And the last bit I'm wrestling with is my mental model of how things really are itself something that will change and disappear once I've reached the other side of the river and left the raft behind?
Tim, only entirely.
Oh, is that all?
That's all. Just okay. Just entirely.
I love what right you said.
I love you use the empowerment word.
Thank you, Andrew.
That touches it. That's a great emotional word. Empowerment. That touches it. Very, very, very good. Deborah, did you want to tell us about your experience?
I had the word that came to mind when you asked that question was absolutely. And I don't know if I can put any words to it at all.
Amen, sister. When you said absolutely, I got it. Are you connected to that absolutely? To that absolute?
Yes.
Done deal. I got it. Thank you. Thank you for professing that simplicity. Okay, we have just enough time not to read the paragraph that we're supposed to read. But it'll go quick because we pretty much covered it. So turn to page 442 in the text. Paragraph 2. So when you read this paragraph, look at everybody said tonight. What everybody said tonight so fits. Luann, would you read for us paragraph 2?
Do you want to know? You know, I've already read.
You have. All right. Well, in that case, let's give Julie. Would you read for us paragraph 2?
Do you not want to know your own identity?
Wow. Answer that. Right? You already did. Okay, go ahead.
Would you not happily exchange your doubts for certainty? Mm-hmm. Would you not willingly be free of misery and learn again of joy? Mm-hmm. Your holy relationship offers all this to you. As it was given you, so will be its effects. And as its holy purpose was not made by you, the means by which its happy end is yours is also not of you.
Remember, you're the problem. You're the reason you need this healing and this miracle. So good. Please continue.
Rejoice in what is yours but for the asking, and think not that you need make either means or ends. And all this is given you who would but see your brother sinless. All this is given, waiting on your desire but to receive it. Vision is freely given to those who ask to see.
Bingo. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for working this over with me and studying A Course in Miracles tonight. Good job. Great involvement, everybody. Great insights from everybody. Thank you so much. Good night. We'll see you next week.